each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Good afternoon. I'm Dawn Fitzpatrick, sitting in for Father Anthony Bush on listener-supported Winds of Change, AM 750 WNDZ. I'm Dawn Fitzpatrick from the Respect Life office at the Archdiocese of Chicago, and joining me is Father Jim, who is on the Priest Advisory Board to the Respect Life office at the Archdiocese of Chicago, and a diocesan priest. Yes. Right, Father Jim?
Good morning, Dawn. Great to be here. Yes, Father Jim Hyde here, and I have the honor and privilege to be with Dawn today as we talk a number of things about the Pope's new apostolic exhortation. So,
yes, we're going to spend a little time on that. Why don't we start with a prayer for our listeners?
Sounds great. As you know, the Church invites us to pray every day. We have morning and evening prayer and our Holy Mass, and sometimes people have devotion to the Rosary or reading of Scripture. And I want to take a passage which is actually in the apostolic exhortation that just came out from the Holy Father. It's called Amor Laetitia, which means the joy of love. And in chapter 4, in the chapter entitled Love and Marriage, he brings up Paul to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 13. We all oftentimes hear this in a marriage ceremony during a wedding mass. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful passage, and the Pope will reflect on it and invite us to ponder its meaning and truth. So I thought, Dawn, we'd start and share this with our listening audience, and we're so delighted they're with us today, too. So, and I hope these words of St. Paul really touch everyone's heart today, especially if they have broken hearts or, you know, that the gift of love, of God's love, God is love, will fill their hearts with this Spirit. So St. Paul tells us, love is patient, and love is kind. Love is not jealous or boastful. It is not arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrong, but rejoices in the right. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. So we pray today as we begin our hour-long a gathering today, as we reflect on our work in the Archdiocese to help to create the culture of life and in our wonderful works in the Respect Life office. We'll talk about that, but we'll more importantly talk about the essence of our program is the Pope's exhortation. So we pray that spirit of love will be a blessing upon all our listeners today as we begin our program.
All right. We pray that in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Well, we thank all of you for joining us. Now, you may recognize us. I think this is the second or third time that we have hosted. Mm-hmm. And as we had mentioned last month, we're hoping to do this monthly and to kind of make a little catechetical opportunity out of this program. So, last month we talked a little bit about the Little Sisters of the Poor and what they've been going through and how it is very similar to what Jesus went through in the Passion. So we spent a whole program on that. I thought that went very well. And today we will spend a little more time on the Pope's apostolic exhortation. But before we do that, why don't we talk a little bit more about our office and what's going on with the Respect Life office in the Archdiocese of Chicago. Just so you all know, we do a lot of things to build the culture of life in the Archdiocese of Chicago. And this weekend, which is just 2 days from now, on the 23rd, we're going to be holding a training for priests, deacons, seminarians up at Mundelein on Project Rachel. And that's a really exciting opportunity because we're actually bringing the founder of Project Rachel, Vicki Thorne, down to lead this training. And it's a wonderful opportunity we have here in Chicago. She only lives in Milwaukee, so she gives us a lot of attention. And most dioceses don't have as much attention from the founder of Project Rachel as we do. Mm-hmm. But, Father, why don't you tell everybody a little bit about what Project Rachel is?
Well, it's basically, in our pastor work, when we work with our people in the parishes and elsewhere, we mm-hmm. basically, as you know, the Pope talks about in his exhortation, things are far from ideal or mm-hmm. perfect. A lot of people are going through a lot of pain, and some of that revolves around issues of the rejection of life. You know, people finding themselves in a very difficult situation and desperate at times, choosing, mm-hmm. Making the wrong decisions for abortion. So then afterwards, wounded and in pain, emotionally, psychologically, sometimes also physiologically, they have right. health issues. They reach out to us, and so we have an open heart and we try to respond. So Vicki and her great work basically offers the resources and the guidance and counsels for us who mm-hmm. are on the front lines. So she educates us.
Right.
And then we can pass it on to many women and men, too, who
sure.
are going through post-abortion.
So what happens is there's a phone line that anyone can call to reach Project Rachel. And my office, actually in the Respect Life office, we manage that phone line. And a lot of times what happens is people will call in hurting, spiritually wounded, physically wounded, emotionally wounded. And we'll talk to them and try to assess, you know, what kind of help we can give them. And a lot of times what they need is a spiritual director, a confessor, a priest that they can talk to. And fortunately, we are blessed to have about 80 priests that have been trained in Project Rachel in the Archdiocese of Chicago. And we're going to have this opportunity to refresh that training this weekend, if not give new training to seminarians and priests who haven't been involved in this before. What the priests are finding is whether or not they're trained in Project Rachel, the hurting people are coming to them. So even if you don't feel like you're a priest who wants us to refer people to you all the time, nevertheless, it's going to be something that you're exposed to just through, you know, the congregation and through the people. So this is a way to help you to know how to talk to those people and what they're really going through. So I can't encourage you enough. If you're a priest or a deacon or a seminarian, you're listening to this program, it's not too late. You can call our office at 312-534-5355, and we'll be happy to reserve a spot for you on Saturday. It's from 10:30 to 3 at Mundelein. We do ask that you would reserve a spot so that we have handouts and lunch available. But we really would like you to come. And if you're not in the Archdiocese of Chicago and you fall into the category of clergy, you're still welcome. So please give us a call again at 312-534-5355 if you'd like to come Saturday. And that's the 23rd of April up at Mundelein Seminary. Please feel free to join us. So something else coming up that I want to spend just a minute on, and this is one of the most exciting things we've ever done in the Archdiocese of Chicago, I think. And this is something called the Echo Camp, which is a retreat on theology of the body that we'll be bringing here from Louisiana in June. And it is June 24th to the 30th up at Benedictine University in Lisle. This is focused on teens and young adults, but the beauty of it is every vocation will be in attendance to live together, to work together, to learn from each other. So we will have priests there. We will have some sisters there. We would love to have some seminarians there. We're still working on that. We'll have some families. We'll have young adults, married people. So, you know, some single people as well. So everyone's welcome. And what we're trying to do is to teach more about the message of John Paul II from Theology of the Body. If on the 24th of June, the itinerary is the young adults would come and receive the wonderful message until Monday morning. And it's just a great chance to learn all about Theology of the Body, enjoy it, live it, and then turn around and give back, because the teens come in Monday afternoon, the 27th, and they stay till the 30th. And the young adults stick around to share their gifts. Unless, of course, you're a young adult and you're listening to this and you're like, oh, no, well, I have to work Monday. I wouldn't be able to stay the whole time. That's okay. You're still welcome to come. Enjoy the weekend and leave Monday morning. However, we'd love for you to stay the whole time. So if you want more information on that, respectlifechicago.org. Scroll down, find the information on Echo. You can register. You can pay online. You can get more information about it. We have a nice little informational video through Dumbox Ministries. They are partnering with us on this. And for those of you who don't know, that's a group out of Louisiana who does a lot of stuff on theology of the body. They're just a wonderful group. So, Father Jim, you attended that with me last summer. What do you think?
I did. I was encouraged by it because, you know, years ago when John Paul, the Pope, he reflected on the gift of human sexuality in the context of the gift of it, the blessings that God gives us in sexuality and the sharing, especially in the context of marriage. And then and he called it theology of the body. And so now, after all these years, since his writings, his initial writings, back in the 1980s, now a few decades after, we have this program, and it's formatted into a retreat, and really capable individuals, I experienced that, who then teach young adults and teens this particular way of life, this anthropology. So the church has been working very hard on it, and it's really preventative medicine, so hopefully our young people will be well-trained, informed, and know the gift of, you know, how God loves them and gifts them, and how they're to share that love with each other. And you'll be happy to know, Dawn, that in the apostolic exhortation, actually, in Amor Laetitia, Pope Francis also highlights the importance of theology of the body. So it's very timely that our archdiocese is bringing this, benefiting from the work in New Orleans and bringing it here. And I really applaud your work on that.
Oh, well, thank you. It's so exciting because one of the things that I really feel and I see happening is that we can get ahead of what's happening to our culture. And that is, if we can teach people, you know, at a very formative age, why they were created, who they were created for, to really invest some time in knowing God's plan for them, then we can change the world. We can stop some of these things that are happening in our culture that we all just kind of shake our head about and say, why is the world upside down? Really getting ahead of that, understanding God's plan for us, which is what theology of the body teaches us. It's really the foundation of our faith. It's a fresh look at what it means to be Catholic. Mm-hmm. So I can't encourage you all listening enough. If you know a young adult, a teen who you'd like to get there, please ask them to come check it out. Ask them to sign up to come. It's such a fabulous thing.
Yeah, it really grounds young people. I saw it there in New Orleans, the level of participation, their prayers, the church walk with them, accompany them in their praying and their catechesis, their learning about these teachings. And they had a lot of experiences there on the retreat that, they were able to build a sense of community and fellowship that was really second to none. So some retreats, you just kind of go along and the retreat director will, speak about spiritual realities. But this was really lived out by the young people, and it's something that impacts their lives. So it was a real plus, and we're delighted to bring it here.
Well, and there's just so many aspects of it. I mean, it was not only very spiritual, but it was so much fun.
Lots of fun.
Of great music, singing, dancing, opportunities to share talents. There was a culture corner where people could express themselves through art. There was opportunities to do skits and just sing and open mic. And, it was one thing after another. Of course, we also had time outside with big group games and time to explore nature. It really brings God's creation to light through every aspect of why and how he created us.
Yeah, it wasn't a dry academic presentation of a pretty challenging and vexing topic. It was really, the kids got involved, the young people, and they really participated and enjoyed themselves. And there was great fellowship. So, and it was authentic. It wasn't phony in any way. And So, it's going to be great to have that this summer.
Right. Here. And we also have opportunities for Mass and mm-hmm. adoration and all types of prayer. It's just a fabulous thing. Okay, so again, that is Echo, which will be in Chicago June 24th to the 30th. Please check it out. Go to respectlifechicago.org. Look for the information on Echo. Sign up to come. Sign up your teenagers from those in 10th grade now until graduating seniors are considered teens. And if they've been out of high school for a year until, I don't know, sometime in their 30s probably, they would be considered young adults. So I can't encourage you enough. Talk to those people. Get them there. All right. It is time for a break. When we come back, we are going to start to talk to you about Amoris Laetitia.
Amor Laetitia, the joy of love. Yep.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Who am I? What does it mean to love? Why was I created? We'll address all of these great questions and more at Echo Chicago this June. Hello, I'm Dawn Fitzpatrick, Respect Life Director for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Echo Chicago is a Theology of the Body summer camp for teens and young adults. For the first time ever, the Archdiocese is partnering with Dumox Ministries to present a week of prayer, fun, and immersion in the teachings of St. Pope John Paul II. This exciting camp will take place at Benedictine University in Lisle, June 24th to the 30th. Registration is now open. Go to respectlifechicago.org or call 312-534-5355 for more information. That's respectlifechicago.org or call 312-534-5355. All of us feel an echo in our heart to explore God's original creation and his true purpose for us. Join us in June for Echo Chicago. Well, welcome back, everyone. I'm Dawn Fitzpatrick, sitting in for Father Anthony Bush on Winds of Change, AM 750 WNDZ. And along with me is Father Jim Hyde from the Archdiocese of Chicago, also a member of the Priest Advisory Board to the Respect Life Office. And we are here today to talk to you a little bit about the Apostolic Exhortation recently released, and something that's just all abuzz all over the place. Right, mm-hmm. Father Jim?
A lot of commentary, a lot of people been writing on this, giving their interpretations, their varied interpretations across the board, mm-hmm. really different viewpoints. But it's, of course, important that when we encourage people to read the actual text itself, to really make make an impression on yourself, and that you come up with your own understanding of the exhortation.
Right, right. Interestingly enough, this exhortation is it's certainly not brief.
No.
It's actually 325 paragraphs, 9 chapters, 264 pages. So I think a lot of thought went into the writing of this document.
Well, as the Pope says, Pope Francis, he says, given the rich fruits of the 2-year synod process, so you had bishops from around the world meeting two times in Rome at these synods. And then out of this, the Pope is there, and out of this comes this writing, this reflection. You know, he listened to not only the bishops, but then certain theologians of the church, married couples. You know, he really took in quite a bit of information on the state of the family, because as he says, it's in crisis. But he says this exhortation, in his own words, will treat in different ways a wide variety of questions. This explains its inevitable length, as you say, Dawn. Consequently, yes. I do not recommend, as the Pope says, a rush reading of the text, although I think
take some time with it.
I had to do a little rush reading myself because we just got it not too long ago. So, but as he says, the greatest benefit for families themselves and for those engaged in the family apostolate will come if each part is read patiently and carefully, or if attention is paid to the parts dealing with their specific needs. So,
there's a lot of people addressed in it.
Lots of ideas, a lot of points, and the Pope wants us to be patient with us, just as the synods were, you know, took a couple years.
Sure.
So, and then our Archbishop, in a recent article just on the joy of love in the New World, our New World, Archbishop Supich, writes that he welcomes this document, and he's really excited about it. As he says, the Pope is, this is what Archbishop Supich writes, "My first impression is that this is a very readable text, reveals a true pastor, someone who has honed a pastoral sensitivity as a priest for more than a half a century." So these are the words of our Archbishop here in the Archdiocese.
So it's something that, like, if you want to curl up with a good book, this would be something you curl up with and, you know, get have a nice cup of coffee or a glass of wine and just read on.
The Pope is a true, you know, he's got that spirit too, because he talks about, he mentions Babbitt's Feast in this particular, I mean, he makes a lot of references from Thomas Aquinas, the great scholar of the church in the 13th century, but he also, references Babbitt's Feast, a movie, I guess, in 1987, where people come and celebrate a meal together. So, yeah, in the context of a meal, breaking bread, maybe a little vino, a long way.
Or have a book study. I know we used to do ladies' book groups, and we would sit around with a glass of wine and talk about a good book. So,
well, he does mention that in the parishes, that this really needs to get out into our parishes, that this is a challenge to our parishes, that we really have to try, especially through our clergy and lay leaders, to implement this particular exhortation. So,
okay. Well, let's stop for just one second and kind of jump back, because I think the title Apostolic Exhortation can be really, I don't know, kind of scary. Mm-hmm. Why don't we talk about what that is and why it's called that? I know I just threw into Google the word exhortation, and what came out was it's an address or communication urging someone to do something. I've also heard it referred to as a joyful urging or even evangelization. What do you think about that?
Well, apostolic being from one of the apostles, this time inter primus pares, the first of the apostles, the Pope. So it has that apostolic also part of the title.
Sure.
So it's from the Pope. It's his encouragement, his exhortation to do something. And it's in light of the synods again. It's just not from out of nowhere. Well, I would first say, first of all, it's, as the Pope writes in his very first paragraph, the Synod Fathers noted, for all the many signs of crisis in the institution of marriage, that they see it, the desire to marry and form a family remains vibrant, especially young people. So he wants to, you know, there's the Church has its teaching on marriage and its love for this teaching and its importance. Society needs it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a crisis, and all these bishops and leaders and thinkers of the Church came together to talk about this, and out of this process came this exhortation for the world.
Okay, so he's looking at the fact that the family is in crisis around the world, right?
Yes, he says, as many of us know, across the board, there are just a lot of issues going on. Breakup of the families, redefinition of marriages.
Sure.
People feeling lonely in marriage.
Not recognizing children as gifts from God.
Right. That was from our pro-life perspective, that was really encouraging, where he's, and this is something that we've talked about. There's that movie Demographic Winter, isn't it, that came out about the plummeting birth rates, in particularly in Europe, where it's like people don't have the hope to have children anymore. They don't care about the future. It's all about, and the Pope talks about this radical individualism, and so, you know, relationships don't give life anymore, and
right.
So this is a major crisis that is really, you think of who's going to take care of the elderly, and we talked about the Little Sisters of the Poor, their work, the Church has been involved, and mainly from families, that where we take care of our elderly or sick, and if there are no people to pay Social Security or to care for people, well, what's going to happen then? So it's the crisis is here right now. We've been talking about it for 20, 30 years, but it truly is here. And so this is so well needed. It's timely, and we welcome it indeed.
Okay. So Pope Francis, you know, since he became Pope, has been talking about the church as a field hospital.
Yeah.
So how does he deal with that in this document?
Well, I think the field hospital is that, first of all, that it's our mentality and our approach to people who come in wounded. Do we have self-enclosed communities that are just into themselves, navel-gazing? I mean, and the Archbishop brought this point up. We have to be, as the Pope mentions too, critical of self-criticism. We always in the church call it purificanda est, you know, that the church will purify herself. And we have to purify ourselves or be critical when we're so self-absorbed and into our own little world mm-hmm. that we fail to see the problems in the world around us. And so it's a mentality change where I think in the pro-life movement, we've been pretty faithful to that. We've gone out, we've observed the problems, judged them wrong, and we've acted on them. We've said, mm-hmm. okay, well, we'll start the Aid for Women clinics, Women's Center, all these places to help women. And the parishes need to be that too. We need to be open, so these issues that people deal with in their real life situations, that they're heard and listened to. I think the Pope talks about that. I mentioned that hymn of love that he mentions, and love is something that is kind and patient with people and listening. You know, you really concerned about the other. So I would say that the field hospital opens the doors. The spiritually sick, emotionally wounded come in, and we tend to them with, you know, programs like Vicky Thorne's work, you know, with the, you know, that kind
with the
of
Project Rachel.
Yeah, the Project mm-hmm. Rachel work, and that we offer services to people. So I think that's what he means by
okay.
field hospital.
Okay. Well, I think it's interesting just listening to some of the things you're saying about the selfishness that's absorbing us, and we can't see past what we're dealing with to realize other people in the world need help, or that they might even need to share some of our resources. I mean, he really kind of addressed that in Laudato Si as well. This might be like a kind of the next thing after Laudato Si. What do you think of that?
Well, it's interesting, Laudato Si, where his perspective on the environment also taking off from a hymn of Saint Francis and how he regards nature, you know. And the Pope in Laudato Si, in that respect for nature, that there is a creator, he also says here in the exhortation that we can't redefine creation ourselves. I mean, we're trying to. We are.
I see the world really trying to redefine creation.
It's like a brave new world where there's even if you're not religious and a believer, you should have a certain humility and a certain checks and balances, that there is a power to creation. And so not only do we tend to the environment and we care for it, because it is a gift. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't, we look at what happened in Japan with the reactor and the nuclear energy, and that's terrible. Now the pollution is coming across the ocean to our shores. Mm-hmm. Well, that's an issue that we should be concerned about. There's a lot of debate back and forth on environmental issues, but still a lot of ideologies get played out. But still, we should care for the environment. And also we should care about human creation. So what the Pope has done is he set up a really wonderful, he's invited people who might not be pro-life or they're environmentalists, and he's asking them to listen to our point of view, that, we regard creation, we believe in a creator, he's a loving father, and we're to respect the gift of life across the board. And it's a great vision of life. Who wouldn't want this kind of vision?
Absolutely. And I really think from both of these documents, you see that all of this goes together. It's all related. It's not, the creation that we are is in God's mind, the ultimate creation. And he gave us everything on this earth to have dominion over. But we were also supposed to be stewards of all these things, right?
Yeah, as the Pope, in this first chapter, in this particular, exhortation, he goes right to Genesis. He talks about the majestic early chapters of Genesis presented the human couple in its deepest reality. So, mm-hmm. In the church, we always go back to the very beginning. Jesus himself took people back to the beginning of creation. This mm-hmm. is how we're made. This is the context in which we're made. And you know, go out and welcome, you know, build up creation. And that accounts for our social teachings. Our social doctrine is that we're supposed to care for creation, the environment, the society, but also, you know, be fruitful and multiply.
Right. And he created us as family. He really did. I mean, he created Adam and Eve in his image and likeness. He didn't just create a man in his image and likeness. He created man and woman in his image and likeness.
The Pope talks about that, like the Trinity being the three divine persons, loving, supporting, encouraging. Well, that model of the Trinity, Dawn, also is a, you know, is a model for our lives and family, that we're supposed to, we're all distinct, unique, and the three persons of the Trinity are, but they're loving, they're cooperating, there's a wholeness. And so that's a wonderful image of life that, you know, and then also, as it's played out, the gift of life through man and woman, you know, and the interplay of the two, the Pope taught, in this day of gender theory where we kind of get to pick our own gender, the Pope is saying, no. We have it from this myth of creation. There's complementarity of men and women, and that reflects a love that is in the Trinity.
It does. And really, when we look at our bodies and the way that God created them, they don't make sense without the other. And that's a lot of what we see through Genesis also, that there's a reason that Adam was created and then Eve was created, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, so that they work together, that they're complementary. Okay, so on that note, it's time for us to take a break. So in just a moment, we'll be back. We'll talk some more about this apostolic exhortation known as Amoris Laetitia, which is on love in the family. I'm Dawn Fitzpatrick, sitting in for Father Anthony Bush, and you're listening to listener-supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
There is a lot going on at St. Stan's. St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, where you can obtain a plenary indulgence by visiting us during this year of mercy with the usual qualifications. Then, of course, there is Eucharistic adoration before the iconic monstrance, confessions 4 days per week, and masses in English, Polish, and Spanish. There's much more waiting for you here. St. Stan's is right off the Kennedy Expressway, just 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Find out more by going to ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org, and enter into the presence of Christ.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Science. What does the Church have to say about in vitro fertilization and surrogate motherhood? These questions are answered by Father Thomas J. Loya and Dr. Robert Fowler, MD, Thursday, April 21st at 7 p.m.
Science.
At Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Church, 14610 Wilcook Road, Homer Glen, Illinois. That's Thursday night at 7, April 21st. At Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Church, 14610 Wilcook Road, Homer Glen, Illinois. Directions, visit ByzantineCatholic.com and click on the About Us tab. Sponsored by the multi-parish Respect Life Ministries of St. Bernard's, St. Francis of Assisi, Our Lady of the Woods, St. Michael, and Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Church.
All right, thanks for hanging with us. I'm Dawn Fitzpatrick on Winds of Change, sitting in for Father Anthony Bush. Along with me today, Father Jim Hyde, both of us from the Archdiocese of Chicago. And we are talking about this wonderful apostolic exhortation from our beloved Pope Francis on love in the family, Amoris Laetitia.
Yeah, it's amor is a beautiful thing. When it hits your eye, it's like a big pizza pie. Amore, right? Amore.
Yeah, speaking of Italians, that's kind of where the Pope lives, right?
Yeah, he's got Italian background. I guess they're immigrants. And that kind of features, too, Don, a wee bit into this exhortation, because, you know, it comes from an immigrant family, and immigrants go through a lot of ups and downs. I was in the middle of Mexico in the mountains of the Sierra Gorda. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the men folk leave the mountains and they go up to California, wherever, to work. And it's not easy. And just hearing from their wives and the struggles that these families go through as they're, you know, they're really compelled to come up north to work and to raise, you know, get some money and such to raise their family. So the Pope understands that sense of, you know, being Italian background, living in Argentina. I just wonder how the Bergoglio family, you know, everyone has their family context and it influences them throughout a lifetime. And then they, you know, so undoubtedly, I can't wait to learn more about his family because undoubtedly it comes through this a little, you know, a little bit. He's just so much attuned to family life. He just gives recommendations. You know what he says? He says, family should say thank you. Members should say thank you or I'm sorry or please. You know, he gives really beautiful, practical advice, almost like in the Book of Wisdom. He's not just referring to Scripture, but he seems to be a good psychologist here, too.
Well, you know, some of these things that we would almost consider just polite or niceties, common sense, we don't seem to have that anymore, you know? So that you're right, just saying please and thank you and I forgive you, or those are things that used to be taken for granted, I think, that no longer are.
Yeah, just the basics, you know, how people walk down the street these days. Sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, you notice, I think America's changed to some degree because oftentimes I'm walking and people walk right into you. They're on their cell phone or their electronic gadgets, driving in the car with all that. We've kind of checked out, and the Pope is saying, no, we have to get back to the value of ourselves, that we're made in God's image and likeness, and we have, God loves us, and we have a lot to share. We can make a positive difference in family life, in the church, mm-hmm. and we have to get back to that. And we're not just mechanical entities, you know, that can kind of create life on our own whim or create family as we want to. And that's what we're doing. And I think it's an offense to the Creator, and it's got a lot of consequences. So the Pope is really gentle with us in many ways, but he's saying there are consequences to our behaviors that we really have to look into.
Okay. And just that, you know, we are created, and the fact that we have life is a gift, but it's not a gift for just us, right? That we're intended to give ourselves as gift as well.
Yes.
And that is a part of what it means to be in a family, is not being in it just for you.
Oh, just think what the Pope said, you know, and I think a lot of people are saying you got to read the Pope in his entire context, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He was on a plane, I think it was back from, he went to visit the Syrian refugees, I believe, and there were a lot of we call it the Synod of the Media. The media picked up on bits and pieces of the exhortation, and they'll run with it. And the Pope is saying, wait a second here. He's saying, you know, read the whole thing in its entirety, which the Church intends to do. But the Pope was going on about that point, Dawn, about, and you'll see some of this in the exhortation, but he was really addressing the journalists right head on. He says, don't you realize that instead the family throughout the world is in crisis? Don't we realize that the falling birth rate in Europe is enough to make one cry, and the family is the basis of society? Do you not realize that the youth don't want to marry?
Right.
Don't you realize that the fall of the birth rate in Europe is something to cry about?
Well, and when you say that, I mean, I'd like to talk about that for a minute. I've actually seen some numbers on that, some research on that. The fact of the matter is, in Italy, from what I hear, it's just a matter of time until the Italians no longer exist. They've contracepted themselves out of existence. They cannot catch back up with what they've destroyed at this point.
You know, I think in the Western world in particular, and this exhortation is for the entire world. You know, he mentions people in the Middle East. He's got reflections on the Chilean bishops, the Africans, of course. You know, mm-hmm. he's got, because the church is growing so much in Africa. But he talks about, you know, this death culture and this, as you say, this inability, openness to give the gift of life mm-hmm. that a mother and a father should be open to, and then their lives are blessed, and the society is blessed, and just like it was years ago. And maybe in Europe, I'm more and more convinced, you know, you had all these World War I battles, you know, the terrible mustard gas, you know, the way life was trashed, and you know, we lost our culture, our hope, and also in the Second World War, one thing after another. So did Europe give up on itself, on its capacity to generate life, to believe in a future, and to be willing, as the Pope says, how are we going to get young people to say, this is really worthwhile to build a culture of life and to sacrifice, and you'll find meaning, and mm-hmm. and you'll the benefits are wonderful, because you'll feel love when you feel the love of a child, the tenderness. He always the Pope always talks about the word tenderness. Jesus was tender with people. He loved them. He tended to them. And we as a church, you know, we're on this journey, this accompaniment, you know, this is process of that we're going to journey with the people that we're addressing this to. We're not immune from this. You know, the church has to get better. But we want something for life, and we want to give life. So I think you're right, Dawn. It's something we have to address. There's an urgency to it.
So, you know, not just the fact that, you know, we've killed 60 million of our own in the last 43 years through abortion, but also we've prevented so many lives from coming into being to the point where families are much smaller, if they even look like what we used to consider a family. Families don't look like what they used to, because people don't understand that, you know, it does take some sacrifice, and it's not all about what I can get out of my life so much as what I can give. And the fact that just by the fact that I'm a creation of God's, I should realize that by loving others, I'm making a self-gift to others to sacrifice and to serve. And in doing that, I'm also serving the Creator. I'm serving Jesus Christ. You know, I think it's interesting, too. One of the things that everyone expected this document to be all about, one of the things that the media made out of the synod is, you know, something about shouldn't everyone be able to receive communion all the time under any circumstances, right?
Yeah, that seems to be the, you know, the most noted, and it draws the most attention. And because this is a reality, you know, being a priest, and I suppose in this context I can speak for the majority of my priest brothers, is you meet people who have different marriage situations. You know, they really are participating in the parish. They're great. You love them. They're great people. And you just, and then all of a sudden we have this teaching. Maybe they're in a second marriage. Their first one ended up in divorce, and they fell in love with another person, and that's going great. There's some stability to it. Or maybe they were never married. There, another case, another situation is that they've never been married sacramentally, but yet they've been together civilly for 25 years. What do you do? And I think part of this is then the church, we're being, the Pope, I believe, here is being so much more realistic, because this is on our hearts. We feel it. I think the majority of our priests feel this difficulty, and we need to do something to accompany people. So the Pope, and this has been brought up by these journalists and others, and so there is a process here. The Pope has opened up some doors of reflection, and where it leads us, that is, you know, that's the point at hand here. The Pope would say first, though, and that's mainly in Chapter 8, that's in the latter chapter of the exhortation, about dealing with that, what we call pastorally, or how we deal with that. But it's what we've been talking about is mainly chapter 4 and 5. That's the bulk, the beauty of love, and also the gift of the openness to life. The Pope wants to concentrate on the positive, the, you know, what we're drawn to, what we're going to lead the church towards. But there's the less than ideal, there's the brokenness, as we talked about, and we're not just simply going to look the other way. I think the Pope has done a lot to reach out to the margins across the board, to people with same-sex attractions, to broken marriages, to others in these situations. And so he's trying to, that field hospital aspect again. So that's a very important point. And he makes references to Cardinal Schoenberg of Vienna. I once met Cardinal Schoenberg in Lourdes, France. He was giving a great talk. And he was one of the authors of the Catechism, so he's a heavy hitter. And there's a great article in Crisis Magazine by what's the fellow's name again, Don? He's a deacon, right?
Deacon Jim Russell.
Deacon Jim
Russell.
And
this came out on April 18th, which was just the other day.
The deacons do great, great work. Well, Deacon Jim Russell, they're always helping us priests, you know. And he says, what did Cardinal Schoenberg say? Because the Pope on one of the planes says, go to Cardinal Schoenberg, you know. He's in, let Cardinal kind of flesh it out a little bit more and explain what this is all about. And in this article, there's just some key points that are important. And I guess we could go through them a little bit here, huh?
Okay.
Today. And the first point is, why don't you...
Okay, Francis is seeking to view both regular and irregular situations in marriage and family life with the eyes of Christ, Eyes that acknowledge the truth of each situation while always welcoming and encouraging the persons to experience the joy of love.
So not just the family that pretty much is like the Holy Family that seems to have its all act together, you know, and but also kind of the messiness of Capernaum where Jesus mm-hmm. walks, you know, the house of Peter, and people are getting sick, and there's all this commotion and all this difficulty. And then Jesus, well, the Holy Family had to leave, had to flee from Herod. So there are a lot of regular and irregular situations, but we're to view them as Christ would in all situations and to give them the joy of love.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we know that no matter what situation, Christ was welcoming the sinner. He was eating with the sinner. Mm-hmm. He was, but yet at the same time, he would encourage them to sin no more.
And quite honestly, in the parishes, we pretty much, my experience is that, you know, I've seldom ever heard of at least cases where somebody would be ostracized for simply mm-hmm. having, maybe it happens, but at least I've been trained, and I know in Archdiocese we place a real focus to be a welcoming community of the situations of, you know, people in these difficulties.
Okay.
So I think that's spot on. And then the second point is we don't regard persons as cases or categories. They are subjects of discernment and accompaniment. So that word again, accompaniment, is important. Even the Archbishop Supich really is making this a leitmotif of a lot of his outreach to our people in Chicago, that we're to accompany people in mm-hmm. the great windy city in the Archdiocese. And
and the persons aren't irregular. It's that maybe the situation they're in that's irregular. And that's important. We don't ever look at someone as being irregular.
Yeah. It's like, you know, when in canon law there was a point where, you know, the children of people in these situations, are they irregular? No, they're children.
They're children.
And the Pope makes that very clear. Language is so important. And that we show that, again, I think that goes back to John Paul. The dignity of the human person was so big in his philosophical mm-hmm. anthropology.
Okay, so we need to take another break. Mm-hmm. So I'm Dawn Fitzpatrick sitting in for Father Anthony Bush. You're listening to listener-supported Winds of Change, AM 750 WNDZ. We'll be right back.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
The Winds of Change on AM 750. WNDZ, and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
News flash. This just in, Winds of Change podcast can now be heard on your iPhone and Android phone. Download the TuneIn Radio app and search Winds of Change, and Winds of Change will be right there for your very ears. We now return you to Winds of Change.
Thanks for being with us here on Winds of Change. I'm Dawn Fitzpatrick sitting in for Father Anthony Bush. I have Father Jim Hyde along with me from the Archdiocese of Chicago. We're talking about the Amoris Laetitia, the apostolic exhortation recently released by Pope Francis. And we're just taking a look at the perspective of Cardinal Schoenberg and what he said about the Pope's intentions on this, right?
So
we talked about how you know, there's regular and irregular situations in marriage, but everyone should experience the joy of love. We also said that people are not cases or categories, and people are never irregular, but sometimes their situations are, right? And then the next thing would be the third point. So that's, what's that, Father Jim?
I love it because it deals with maturity. Only when this personal discernment of the individuals is mature is mm-hmm. it also possible to arrive at a pastoral discernment.
Okay, so what exactly does that mean?
You know, it's not like just, it's really taking the time, and there could be some struggle, some emotion to it, mm-hmm. but there's people really discerning God's will, as you see it in the exhortation, that, you know, encountering a Christ who walks with people, who is who loves them, wants to save them. Mm-hmm. And it's not just simply church rules, you know, just for the sake of creating rules to hurt people, to throw stones at people. And the Archbishop has been talking to us. I've been picking this up in his reflections, you know, that we're to be mature, you know, think about things, not just discard this powerful invitation of Christ, you know, and just say, well, you know, the church has these rules, I'm going to walk away. No, stay with it. Work with those priests who also are part of this journey, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because we feel this pain too, you know, it's difficult for all of us, but we're going to lead people beyond some of this hurt to a better place. And that's what discernment and accompaniment is.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's important to understand that, and there's a little bit of this here, that, you know, the church doesn't make rules just to make our lives difficult and to make us feel bad.
No, we're certainly a nation of rules, you know, rule of law, and thankfully we have them. You think mm-hmm. of the you know, Blackstone's, you know, commentaries on the law. Thankfully we have a rule of law. Mm-hmm. And thankfully we have the Ten Commandments and the Divine Commandments, natural law. Those are guideposts, but not to beat us down.
Not to make us feel bad, not to make us feel guilty, not to tell us that somebody is more righteous than somebody else because they follow the rules better. It's kind of like a parent. The church is treating us like a parent guiding their children.
And so be mature about it, right? Mm-hmm. You know, as you, whatever circumstances you're in, you know, we take this seriously where people are at, and we want to, you know, invite them to a mature relationship with Christ and his church so we can be a better church. And that's, I think, the really at the heart of Pope Francis's intentions. He basically wants us to really, even though some commentators will run right to chapter 8 and this particular issue mm-hmm. about giving communion to people in irregular situations, you know, with second marriages, I think there's a lot more here. And that's why the Pope is telling us, take your time to read this, reflect on it.
Right. Don't just jump to chapter 8.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you won't see everything that led up to that.
You know, and remember, I would say to a lot of people that, you know, you and I have been in the pro-life movement for years. And, you know, I've been over 25 years in this. And I tell you, I find encouragement in this. You know, some say, oh, we're cultural warriors. And I guess maybe one could say that. I mean, it's not popular today in our pro-choice culture, but I'm finding in the Pope a real support for our position and a willingness to, because we want to provide families, we want to heal them, we want to move forward so that we can mm-hmm. bring life into the world, we can have a stronger church. And I feel that here there's a development of pastoral style that is really welcome. We've needed it for a while. And so we pro-lifers should welcome it. And also I would say that, you know, he mentions I like St. Dominic a lot, or Thomas Aquinas, who is a Dominican in 12th century. Well, he's got a number of passages from the Summa Theologica. So, you know, one can't, more than he, you know, Pope Francis likes to talk about St. Francis, but he's also got some what we call Thomism, St. Thomas in here too, which is really
high intellectual stuff.
Yeah, get a hold of this. This is from St. Thomas, the Summa Theologia. He says, experiencing an emotion is not in itself morally good or evil. He gets that right from the Summa. So I find that Pope Francis is really breaking ground here. He respects tradition. He respects the teachings of the church. But he's also in this quest to, you know, have the tender, merciful heart of the Lord. He's opening up doors. He's giving us a possibility to lead people in the right way.
Well, and I think one of the things that I'm seeing here is that he's saying you can't look at everything as black and white, right?
He definitely mentions that.
He does. He says that if soon as you say it's either A or B and there's nothing in between, then you're wrong because everybody's different. Everybody's in a different place. You really have to walk with the person and know what they're going through, to know where they've been. Some people don't understand the ideals
without,
from day one.
Without slipping into relativism. Well, anything goes, I can change the rules,
right,
or whatever. He's not condoning sin here. He's not saying anything goes. He supports humanae vitae here. He supports theology of the body. He supports, you know, the prohibition of abortion. He thinks this is a terrible crime. he doesn't accept same-sex so-called marriages. He's not going to go there. But he's going to show passion to people with same-sex attraction.
Of course.
Attractions. But, so you have a pope who has a very tender heart, and he has paid his dues. He's reached out to these different groups, to different people. And now I think if it's a true reciprocal relationship, I think a lot of people should be open to what the pope is saying. And I think some of them will. They'll feel, wow, this pope loves us, and he's presenting the teaching in, you know, in a nuanced, a little different way, and I'm going to listen to this a little bit more, you know?
Mm-hmm. So, and one of the things that I see here in these points is the Pope mentions two erroneous positions, one of excessive rigor and the other of neglecting the full ideal of marriage. So that's kind of like looking at it as either too far one direction or too far the other, right? So if you're overly legalistic on viewing the situation, then that's erroneous. Or if you forget to look at what is possible in a full marriage, that's also erroneous.
Yeah, I like the latter a lot, the full ideal, you know, run for the gold and our call to sanctity. You know, we get that from the Second Vatican Council and, you know, the call to holiness. And he's got a lot of gaudium et spes. It's the, right in the Second Vatican Council, a lot of Second Vatican teachings here. And one of them would be a call to holiness. Why can't we have holiness in marriage, make it an ideal marriage?
Well, and absolutely. That's what Gaudium et Spes talks about, that we're all called to holiness, all of us. And that it's not just something reserved for those in a celibate life. I mean, we're in a full ideal of marriage, in a sacramental marriage, you are completely holy.
Maybe what he means by excessive rigor is that sometimes we can use theology or pastoral style to hold up, you know, and he says this in his first encyclical too, you know, his Joy of the Gospel too, Evangelium Gaudium, that, you know, sometimes in the church, you know, we clerical types can be a little rigorous, you know, for whatever reason, where we could be a little bit more flexible, more welcoming. I know it's, and then the Pope is going to have us work our tail off here. He's got us starting up programs already and, you know, reaching out to people. We're going to have to, you know, accompany a lot of people on this and, you know, we'll give it our
good shot. Just wants us to get back to what it's all about, and that's bringing people to Jesus.
Yes.
Unfortunately, we have people flocking away. When we need them, we need the flock here with us, right?
Well, you know, there are more non-practicing Catholics that in this country than are practicing. So you think of the great, our ancestors who came and built these great churches and were so involved. And then we lost our confidence. We got too secularized, I guess. Mm-hmm. One of my priest friends from Notre Dame says, you know, we're the victim of our own success. And boy, there goes marriage. And so there's a lot of woundedness. And I think, okay, we'll work through it as a family of faith. And so we invite people to come. But on our part, the church has to show this kind of balance, not to be overly rigorous or excessively rigorous.
Okay. But as we said earlier, there are rules, and the rules are there to keep us closer to God, to help us. As a parent would have rules for their children, the church has rules for us.
Right, we still have the canon law, you know. The code is 1983. It was redone by the Saint, great John Paul II. So that canon law has a lot of wonderful theology in it. It's law, but it's also supported by good theology. And the Pope is not saying here dispense from canon law. No, it still has a place. But will it be adapted?
Right.
You know, for people's circumstances to help them.
Well, and just as a good parent would look at their child and you know, not totally punish them for doing something wrong all the time. Sometimes it's a circumstance, right? Mm-hmm. And the parent will say, well, what happened here? Let's talk about this. What went wrong? What can we do to walk in the right direction, right?
Yes.
And that's really what he's saying here in this document, is we're here to accompany people and bring people back.
Amen.
So thank you all for being with us today. I'm Dawn Fitzpatrick, sitting in for Father Anthony Bush. Father Jim Hyde is with
Father
me.
Jim Hyde
we plan to be back at some point next month on a Thursday. You're listening to listener-supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ. God bless you.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deep for truth or sit on the fence? Can you see? each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed. What's there to say when right from wrong has become so obscure? It is not.